It wasn't in the script for the trigger to be pulled.
Well, the trigger wasn't pulled. I didn't pull the trigger.
So you never pulled the trigger?
No. I would never point a gun at anyone and pull a trigger at them, never.
Yeah, well, the FBI did a forensic exam and found out that that weapon was operating correctly and that there's no way it could have gone off without someone pulling the trigger. And as you've probably heard, Alec Baldwin and the armorer on the set of the movie Rust both charged with involuntary manslaughter charges in this horrible case. A $5,000 fine upon conviction, up to 18 months, but because of a firearm enhancement provision, it could escalate to 5 years in prison. Interesting to find out whether or not that fib, lie, misdirect that he threw at George Stephanopoulos there on ABC, whether that's going to come back to haunt him. We welcome in Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law, who has been on both sides of both tables in a criminal court. Todd, good afternoon.
Hey, Guy, good afternoon.
So this charge says it was not intentional, but it certainly was reckless. If you're a prosecutor, how high is the bar here to get a conviction? What do you need to prove?
Well, in this particular case, New Mexico has a much different standard for involuntary manslaughter than that here in Michigan. In Michigan, we have the malice, you're showing something that's not murder. This is not murder. It's manslaughter. And involuntary manslaughter is the taking of another's life without the intent. So in Michigan, we use the standard of gross negligence. You got to have gross negligence. Mm-hmm. In New Mexico, they take away that gross negligence and make it just negligence, which is very, very low standard. And there's two counts here of involuntary manslaughter. The one count of involuntary manslaughter that they have is just the negligence. The second count, for which you talked about, is the recklessness. That's a bit higher standard that they have to show. They have to show that he was reckless in this case. And that carries a second problem for him, a mandatory 5 years in prison by using the gun in the commission of that crime. So two counts, one count showing negligence. He's caught in a lie. And the only upshot and I've been in a murder trial, just getting it done with the murder trial. The only upshot to what the government did in this case is they actually did an investigation. They actually took the gun to the FBI. They actually did some testing of that gun to determine whether or not his claim, based on his interview, had any weight to it. And there's science to it, right? So I find that problematic, but it carries an 18-month penalty. In Michigan, 15-year penalty.
Wow.
And I find that it's, would I love to try this case? I would. I'll tell you why. I'd love to try this case because there's going to be plenty of experts that can get up on the stage that say, hey, listen, I've been to the FBI Academy, and I went through the shooting and range with the targets and scenarios where I thought I only shot my gun three times, but in fact it was unloaded with 15 in the magazine and one in the chamber, right? So there is science to that. Second thing I would bring up is I want to know, how is it that someone gave him a loaded gun? And if he said the armorer told him, and the armorer claims, I told him it wasn't loaded, and he relied upon that, there's some plausible defenses there. The side for the government is, are you crazy? You didn't check it. You didn't look yourself. You didn't bother to take the safety regimen for the gun, and you pointed it at somebody. That is both reckless and negligent. So
yeah, it's
this is going to be an interesting case, but I am only thing I applaud in this case is that someone actually did some work before they charged it. And we don't know all the facts. We don't know
plenty
all the
of time, 15 months. I love the prosecutor's statement here. She says, if any one of these three people, Alec Baldwin, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, or David Halls, who was the assistant director, had done their job, Helena Hutchinson, Hutchins would be alive today. It's that simple. Interesting,
I agree
though,
with
that in this case, David Halls has copped a plea and has admitted to criminal culpability here. I don't know if he's going to testify against Baldwin and the armorer, but how much more problematic does that make it for Baldwin's or the armorer's defense in this case that you've got a guy that's already admitted this was a criminal act?
Yeah, so he pled basically to a misdemeanor charge. All right, so I get a guy on the stand that's going to cooperate, and I ask the question, you know, to the jury always ahead of time. People that do that, I ask simply, what's in it for them? I get you a misdemeanor, and I diminish this case from you supplying the gun to the person or whatever the case may be. What's the agenda? What's the motive? It's problematic anytime you got some witness that's going to testify against you, right?
Yeah.
So if you're charged with that, you got to beat them up. So he gets up on the stand and you got to find out, is there something here? They gave him a sweetheart deal. Was there something here that, hey, listen, I can go on with my life. I pay my fine. I'm done. I can, you know, wash my hands of this. Is that the motive? Or what's behind this plea deal? So that's what we'd want to find out. Here's where you hit the nail on the head, guy. The prosecution is going to simply say you had to do your due diligence when you put a gun on the set. It's clear we're not arguing against the defense is not going to be arguing that someone died. The defense is going to say, I relied upon so-and-so, or I relied upon this. Well, the prosecution said you failed in your just safety precautions of carrying a gun on the set.
Yeah, well, what the defense is saying is that he relied on the professionals that he worked with and that they assured him the gun did not have live rounds and that it's normal practice that the actor trust the armorer and not check the weapon themselves.
That's why I like me, if I, you know, I wouldn't mind representing the case. I would take the case for that very simple reason. If you're doing a play and you're up here in Detroit someplace and you're at the Fisher and you're going in and you get the gun and the gun is a toy gun, but, you know, you shoot someone on the stage. Hey, has the gun been checked? Yep, everything's safe. You're all set. Good luck. You know, break a leg. Next thing you go out there and it's got a real live bullet. I detrimentally relied upon what the heck was being told to me. So to the extent that that can be established by the defense, great. The fact of the matter is I like it when law enforcement does their job. And taking the time to make sure they thoroughly check everything and they in fact fire tested the gun and Baldwin saying out there, I didn't fire it. I applaud good law enforcement for doing what they're supposed to do. I hate it. I hate it when you have to get a client in the defense table and everybody assumes or presumes something took place and then you're guessing. And the law enforcement didn't do their job and the jury has to guess at a verdict. That's, to me, is just shoddy work. It's unconscionable that takes place, but it takes place all the time. So I applaud this part for this case.
We will await a decision on this. And Todd, interesting piece there about, folks not knowing how many bullets are in the chamber. And that's that could be an interesting piece of testimony. Good stuff, friend. We appreciate it.
I always love talking with you guys, you know, best, and I'll talk with you soon.
All right, good enough. Todd Flood with some really good insights there into what Alec Baldwin faces and perhaps some defenses. We'll see. We've got some breaking news to get to when we come back. You're on News Talk 760 WJR.